Hey, thanks for listening to the Fly Racing RacerX podcast. Before we get too deep into this thing, I want to thank the folks at Racetech, racetech.com, authorized service centers all across America, privateer proven, gold valves. They got suspension parts as well. Get your right spring rate done. Get a revalve. Get a oil change. Get motor work done. All of it. Racetech.com. They've been in business since, the early 80s or something. And the best part is if you tell them you listen to Pulp MX, the guys at Racetech and Racetech.com will give you a discount. That's right. It's that easy. Get some motor work done. Get suspension work done. Anything like that. Racetech.com, the home for suspension. All right, on to the show.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
Yeah, welcome everybody to Fly Racing RacerX Ironman MX review. Thank you for watching or listening. Really appreciate it. And man, keep those YouTube comments rolling in. I know all you people really, really like me over the other two guys, and I appreciate that, man. So thanks for doing that. Flyracing.com for more information on all the 2026 fly line is out there. Hampshire podium this weekend, 450 class with Fly. Use the code PULPMX to save. Thank you to Fly Racing. And hey, man, they have women's gear and kids gear and lines all across the range. And check it out, man, from the F16 to the Evo stuff. They have the BOA closure system on a couple of their lines. And really cool stuff. Formula helmets, amazing. Flyracing.com. And the best part is code PULPMX. Saves you money when you check out. So thank you to Fly for coming on board this show. And we'll tell you more about Brunt Boots, Motorsport.com, Renthal, Maxxis later on this show as well. Lots to get into. We have a championship decided north of the border that we'll get into. We have a vicious Twitter attack. We have a man penalized, and we have a bizarre crash. And it's all going to be covered in this Ironman MX review pod. First up, you heard this man in the booth this weekend with James Bubba Stewart. It's the Jason Wygan. What's up, Weege?
Yeah, not the Ironman National. The, I don't know, man. National.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
For as predictable and kind of boring the 250 class was, there's a lot more to get into, for sure. Also here from Fly Racing, flyracing.com, the Jason Thomas. What's up, JT?
Hey, guys. I think racing is interesting enough. Right. We have plenty to talk about when it's just straightforward racing and no chaos. This was great racing and also just the weirdest, randomest things that ever could have happened in the 450 class. Like, I'm sure there's some weekends in there somewhere, you know, San Diego 24 or whatever. But this was a weird 450 weekend across really all of the superstars. Just strange stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And Prado was good enough where this won't be a Prado corner pod.
Oh, we're going to talk either. About Prado for sure.
Maybe we won't spend 15 minutes on Prado.
I never miss a chance to talk about Prado.
But listen, I do, before we get into everything, Hunter Lawrence won. And 2-2 on the day. He was really good. It took a lot out of him. The second moto, he was drained. He needed Eli to stall to get him in moto two, but then he fell earlier, so there was that. I thought he was going to win the first moto. I was very surprised to see him lose that lead. But
so
regardless, the dude won the overall. And as he told me after the race, he's not sharing his bonus with Jet. He doesn't care about any of that. So first up, Weege, just Hunter Lawrence wins. A long time coming. Good job, Hunter Lawrence.
You know what? That's why it makes it okay. because he went 2-2. He's been top five in every race he's ever been in 450 motocross. I think he's had 14 podiums and 19 races or something. So it's like one of these days, it's got to go your way. So good for him. Now I have to tell my kid to get my cat out of the front yard because he's fighting the neighbor's cat. So go ahead and talk amongst yourselves.
Okay, great. JT, Hunter Lawrence.
That's super on brand. I've never been happier to jump in.
I believe Vinny is fighting in the front yard. Go open the door.
No, we have just to mute. We just have to listen to this. I just want
can
to
you mute your mic?
Yeah.
I thought I did.
Oh, no.
No.
But I kind of wanted to listen to it. It's amazing.
I thought I did. Yeah, you should hear it.
What's the cat's name? Fight.
Vidya. All right. I am muting now. I thought I did.
Okay. All right.
You know, for Hunter, I think this has been a long time coming, you know, and I say that, but it's also never a given that you're going to win because look at who the guys he's had to go up against. But I also believe that you keep knocking on the door for long enough and you put yourself in good enough positions for long enough, things are just going to go your way. Eventually, you don't even have to be the best guy on the day, but if you keep putting yourself there and you keep getting hole shots and you keep turning good laps and you keep hanging out on the podium, it's just going to happen for you. You know, similar to like RJ's getting second overall this weekend, like eventually if you're there long enough, something's going to fall your way and it's just going to happen one way or another, right? Like my fifth overall, the best race of my career, I went 8-6 and it just happened to go right for me that day to get a great overall. This was just finally Hunter's time and all of the chaos that we're going to get into around this, he was the benefactor, right? We've seen it so many times where he is kind of the guy that loses out because of all this weird math and Jet ends up winning. For once, Hunter did the right thing, rode incredibly well. And yes, you could say the first moto, I think he got tired, which surprised him. I think he was really frustrated with his mistakes. But in the end, I think we could all be happy for Hunter Lawrence getting that elusive win.
Yeah, I agree. I believe he's lost some nationals going 2-2 before to 3-1s. So, you know, like, yeah, he'd fully marked for this and you knew it was coming and he gets on that, you know, on an all time history win list now. I don't know how many more he's going to get, but
he had 10 second places leading up to this, right? Like in 2 years in the class, he had 10 second overalls. It was time.
Yeah, absolutely. He rode really well. And then, so by the way, before we get too far into this, JT's people at MXGP, they've ruined Ironman. A lot of riders weren't happy this weekend. Godzilla Jump was taken away. I understand for some VIP viewing for with upcoming Des Nations. Rerouted the track through the woods. That was not there last year, correct?
Yes,
or
it was
different?
No.
Was it exactly the same? Okay. I was in.
I mean,
I felt like it was longer. Okay. I felt like it was longer. But anyways, I was at Fox Hill the last 2 years doing the vets thing. So I never went to Ironman. So this was my first year back in a couple years. Guys didn't really like the track. They didn't like the dirt. They didn't like some of the changes. The start is not as good as it used to be. It's shortened up. They took a thing out of the back. You know, it's all to get the elusive 2-minute lap time and then better VIP viewing. But I did. Somebody after the race told me they liked the Godzilla was gone. I can't remember one of my post-race interviews. But anyways, so JT, your MXGP guys, you guys have ruined it.
Yeah, like whatever. It's not, I had nothing to do with it, clearly. I know you're kidding. But I would say that the criticism's fair. I didn't think this was a banner Ironman track. You know, like part of my role was to get out there and kind of get the feel of it, walk around, see what the track's like. I don't know. I wouldn't, like personally, all I can do is put myself into the rider's shoes, having looked at it through those eyes for so long. I wouldn't have wanted to race on it. The shadows were really tough. That back section is really difficult. Like it does, you know, Weej and I talked about this on the SMX Insider post race show. It feels like a GNCC back there. You can't really see. The dirt's black. There's rocks. It's ruddy. It's not like the most fun section ever. And then some of the other stuff, you could see it even on television. Like it got really hard late in the day. And like there was this contrast between soft and sticky and really hard and slippery.
Yeah.
It just didn't look like a racetrack that would be very fun to kind of push the limit on, if that makes sense. Like riding, sure. But those guys don't get to just ride. Like they have to like really get on the edge. It didn't look like that would have been very much fun to do. So I think it's fair criticism. I didn't necessarily love the racetrack either.
Yeah, RJ was critical of it. Hunter was critical of it to me. Yeah. A few other riders when I made the rounds. I just cannot remember who told me in the post race that, yeah, it's cool. I like the Godzilla part. I like it being gone. I can't remember who that was.
I jumped that. in the Legends race 10 years ago. It, like, not that much fun. Like, especially late in the moto. Do I think this was an upgrade? No, it's not that great now, but I can understand in some realm why they would take it out. You know, that's for people to decide whether it's good or bad. Yeah. But like some of it, you know, they took out the first one and the jump back down, right? Like,
yeah, no, over the years, like it's been changed. Yeah.
I feel like it got watered down a little bit.
And honestly,
the jump back down, I think was not, I think everything else is donations. I think the jump back down teams didn't like that downhill crazy jump.
It was scary. Coming down, too, and I was scared for my life when I jumped it.
But generally, Ironman has been met with universal praise over the years. Like, really, really good track. Love this place. And I sense it's slipping a little bit on that ranking for these changes that they're making. Some designations, some team stuff, like Weege, what you just said, or whatever. You know, just different stuff.
I think you know what I think was also a small fact? I'd say donations, blame pie. You ever heard of this, Steve?
Yeah.
Donations is maybe... changes for that are maybe 80% of it. One other factor I think is a couple guys told you after the race that it was like, it was weird how the track maintenance was weird. Second moto, you were like dropping into holes and potholes. I almost guarantee you that trying to shove the WMX in the middle of what would normally be a track maintenance. And it's awesome that we get to have WMX in there. That's not a drawback, but these things do lead to little side effects. I guarantee you the track crew is like, if we could have had that 20 minutes to do more maintenance, the second moto would have been better.
Plus a red flag. Passing. Red flag in there, too.
Yeah, red flag in the WMX.
Oh, red flag. Yep.
That was when JT ruined the vet race there. The Legends race. Yeah.
K-Dub. Very upset.
Okay.
Actually, like, hold on. Like, before you go putting that into the ethos, I had nothing to do with anything of that. So
seemed like you did. I got a text from Kevin Windham asking for your number.
Yes. And you know what? You know what he was mad at? He was mad at Chad Reed tweeting about it is what he was mad at. So just to make sure we know exactly what happened.
It's kind of not what I got from it. But anyways, moving on. Weege, you pick. Choose your own adventure. Jet Lawrence penalty or Chase Sexton? We're going to cover both, but you pick,
Weege. Oh, gosh. Yeah, just a coin flip of what's more bizarre. Actually, let's do the Jet one first, because I would imagine with Chase, we don't still have any of the answers, all the answers.
Yeah, Ian was saying after the race, I talked to him after the race, he hadn't looked at the bike yet, but then they put out a statement saying that they had debris in the front brake, similar that they had debris in the rear brake from the same spot at the track years ago. And so they need to look at that and fix it. But I'm like, is this NASCAR? Like debris? Like what?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I think he means mud.
Okay, but,
since we don't know all that, let's
know
one first. I feel like the Jet thing, we know everything that was involved with that. I had never heard of this rule.
So
I did not know this.
Honda was not. Yeah. So basically, the rule is, and it's to stop what I don't want to say he did this because he didn't never really actually do it, Mike Alessi.
But
it's to stop. I don't believe he ever ripped the gate out and pushed it forward.
Dude, remember when
he did
race at Anaheim and then he cried and he got stuck in the gate.
Yeah. Yeah, he got stuck. He's got stuck in it before. But like JT showed me a video or someone did from Germany where he like literally just ripped the gate out and kept going. The rule is
to roll in just because the guy didn't break the gate. The idea of
what I'm saying is the rule is there. And the penalty is there.
Yes.
For guys who jump the gate and keep going, you know, like just screw it. I'm going to just keep going. And that's why it's so harsh. Yeah. Right.
This is supposed to be a penalty for people trying to gain an advantage. Right.
Yes.
Like, can we all agree on that? That's what it's supposed to be for.
Yeah.
Is the J-Law in whatever year that was trying to jump the gate, like people doing ridiculous things. They want to really punish them severely.
Right. Or just like I said, keep going. Guys who jump the gate and just keep going and screw it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's supposed to be punitive for those guys.
That's the reason why it's a DQ or a full lap of a penalty. And so that's the way it's written. I think they got to go back and put some discretionary stuff in there like they do for off the track stuff, because the AMA was like, look, man, I believe KTM brought it to the AMA's attention. And the AMA is like, well, look, I saw a photo. I asked for a copy of it. I couldn't get it, but I saw a photo that show Jet, the gate was down, okay, fully down for everybody. Jet was half a wheel ahead. That's how they broke this video down. It was that precise. So the AMA is like, look, everybody's gate is down and he's ahead. Now we know he stopped and his whole shot device popped up and then he went and he was 23rd. But the AMA is like, look, the way the rule is, he's ahead of everybody and the gate is dropped and we have to go by the rule. But well, let's rewrite it.
If you, in any walk of life, if you only look at what is written and you throw out all reason around a situation and you just immediately go with punishment because of like, and you just, nope, don't care about any detail, context doesn't matter. That's a really dangerous pathway to go around. Like, I know racing is not life or death stuff, but I'm just saying as a general concept, if that's how you're going to approach every situation, you're going to find yourself in a whole lot of trouble.
They're really just quickly approaching this situation that way because it's the way it's written. Like, we need to go back and look at, like, I fully agree it was too harsh, but they need to change. But the AMA's like, look, if we...
crazy. The rule has, I swear, shout out to our statistic guy, Brett Smith, who printed the rule out for us. It has the word may in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
May penalize.
I was getting to that.
Or one lap. So there is discretion. The word may might as well be the word discretion. They put the discretion in there. May do it. May. Not have
that. That's what Lars is saying. It says may.
Mike is saying, from what I gather, that the may is only between the two. It is a forced penalty of one of the two. It just may be between those two. Well, you can disagree with that. And I disagree with a lot here. Like, I want to put that on the front end. Like, I think this was a ridiculous outcome to what happened. That's my opinion. I will not back away from it under any circumstances. But I'm just saying it sounded like Mike was on the side of, I didn't have a choice. I had to choose between these two. A lap is lesser than a DQ. So that's what I did.
I think he said. Like the red flag rule, like when Dunge lost the win and they went in to reroute it, like the red flag rule for the restart that cost Hayden and they went in and fixed it. They need to go in and fix this rule and be like, look, the guy made an effort. He didn't just keep going and he came out 23rd.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, let's dock him something. He deserves to be a penalty. Yes, I do not think.
Ten seconds. Whatever.
Right.
The whole thing comes down to Jeremy Hand flinched, right? Like, he jumped early. Then Jet responded, jumped, which we've seen a million times. Cooper Webb tries to do this to people.
Well,
Barsha
did it next to him. Barsha did it next to him. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all completely understandable. Like, Jet shouldn't have jumped. He made a mistake. And then he was really punished by his own mistake. Like, starting 23rd, I don't know that I've ever seen Jet start 23rd in his entire life under his own accord. So I think he should still be penalized according to what, you know, the rule, like, broke the gate, was ahead. That's fine. But to then take a guy that historically has started inside the top three, if you look average over his life, he's a top three starter. So he's starting 20 positions behind that already. Now you're going to add in a 120-second penalty to that or more, 125-second penalty, which is what this equated to. This is 125 seconds that they took away from him, is completely ridiculous. Like, we're not adding any sort of reason to this or any sort of logic, which is at the heart of what my problem is. I don't like things that we can't trust administration to come to a logical conclusion. We just say, nope, that's what it says. That's what it's doing. I don't care about context. I don't care about situation. I don't care about circumstances. That's what we're doing. Like, I do not agree. I know we can't do anything about it now, but this, to Steve's point, this has to be looked at, I think, long-term. Like, there has to be some sort of addendum here. And I'm not a legal expert. I'm not a rules maker, but to not have any wiggle room whatsoever in this seems crazy to me.
Well, and the other thing everyone cites is there is wiggle room on the going off the track thing, which is a controversy every weekend. And it's basically based on, did you gain an advantage or not? And then here, the did you gain an advantage is not a factor at all. Non-factor.
Yeah. No,
and
for
I
sure.
think in intent matters. Like, it does. And in it, look totally. At any legal case ever, intent is always a factor in what the ruling is, always. So why would it not be here? And if I thought Jet was trying to jump the gate, I would be like, nope, sorry, man, you can't do stupid stuff like that. We've seen people jump the gate. I've seen it a million times. Like, I've seen. That's not what was happening here, though.
No.
Weege, do you think he should get a penalty, though? Like, are you. Like, where do you stand on
giving
him? Like, JT and I are like, give him a penalty.
I guess I'm fine with it. I'm not even as strong on that. I feel like he got a penalty. He started basically last. And
no, he didn't start. He was 20 something.
He was 23rd on the timing and scoring because he passed guys in the first turn. I think there were maybe two bikes behind him when they were going down the first straight.
Maybe I need to go back and watch it. I feel like there was.
He was not 23rd. I think there might have been two bikes on his left that he was ahead of. They were probably hitting third gear.
I would be willing to. And I was at Honda this whole time waiting to try to interview Lars, which. I'm glad it didn't happen because I don't think it would have went very well for anybody.
No, he got one. No. Katie got him.
Yeah, this is. Yeah, I'm 2 hours like,
later.
Got it. Oh, Jordan Moto got it. Yeah.
And I was talking to Christian Ducharme, right? Like his mechanic, who was not happy either. And I even told him, like, hey, like realistically, okay, I think they need to penalize him something because, okay, like if that's the rule, that's the rule. But 5 seconds, 10 seconds, and Christian was really mad, but even he was like, all right, I don't like that, but like, that's reasonable, you know, like that, like yeah. We need to find a reasonable outcome. A lap is not a reasonable outcome in my mind. Anyway,
I walked back from that moto. And then there was a VIP of the series said, hey, the AMA is looking at this and I think they're going to penalize Jet. And I'm like, for what? Like this person assumed that I, you know what I mean? Like I was like, what happened? What did I miss? And he's like, the gate. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, I was completely blown away by it. Like, so my initial reaction was like, I don't know what you're talking about, but I did talk to Mike Pelletier and, you know, Mike showed me a video and talked me through it. And I just think it needs to be looked at, rewritten. But you know, if you're Lars, and he was really mad about this, by the way, our friend Lars, cause I did interview him after the race. I did get him. It was hard to get.
Right, but,
he said, like, look, the Barcia thing, nothing happened when he hit Jet. The red flag thing when Vince Freeze was off the track in between the jump, we got penalized for that. Now we're getting penalized for this. Lars is like, it seems like there's no discretion for us. It's just like, here's what it is. And then other people, there's discretion. And he pointed to a few riders that go off the track a lot. And nothing happens. And he said that they bring attention to the AMA of riders going off the track a lot. And the AMA goes, yeah, that's fine. Like JT said, like that is not really an advantage. So just Lars and Honda feel like, how come we don't get any discretion? It's always just, sorry, man, here's what it is. And so that's their side. But
I don't disagree. There's been a lot of rulings that haven't gone their way. And right. I almost hate to say that because I do not think that this is a, you know, AMA doesn't like Honda. I think that's just the way it worked out.
Yeah. This is not a witch hunt.
Point is valid. Yeah.
I wish it was a witch hunt. That'd be cool. Cool podcast title. Witch hunt. Honda.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, I will just make it as simple as this. I just think intent has to be factored in. It has to.
Yeah.
Like there has to be
some sort of
wiggle room in the rule for intent to matter.
They're making changes. They fixed that ridiculous red flag rule that cost Hayden that moto. They fixed the red flag position thing that cost Dungy Anderson the race win, or gave Anderson the race win,
Anderson,
whatever that was.
Anderson won because of it.
They fixed that. Like they are trying and they're going through it and they'll make revisions. And I think, and it's not Steve Whitelock making the choice. It's a 3-man committee now, right? Of different people that I like and respect, Christina and Thule and J-Bone and Mike Pelletier and Yogi when he's there. Love Yogi. Legend.
Yeah.
I'm the biggest cynic and complainer about these idiots over the years that I've been in the pits, right? I like what they're doing. They are being progressive. They have this committee. They have good people. They make rewrites. They look at logic things. And I think this is one thing that they'll look at. But that doesn't help Jet Lawrence right now.
Yeah,
but.
And Mike was very clear to say that this rule predated him.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this wasn't something that they came up with, wrote in. Like, this was.
Now, you could make a case like, hey, JT, why doesn't Mike or someone go through and change these things that are predating him? You could make that case, but like, I guess,
You gotta remember how many rules there are in that freaking rule book, man.
But, okay, so something that I brought up that I could be on crazy island here, which I've been on myself. Like, I've been on Crazy Island all by myself. Mm. I don't know anything about starting gates and the construction of starting gates per se. I'm not a metals expert. I'm not a starting gate expert. However, why don't we have gates? Because Jet didn't really hit the thing that hard, right? Like, we've seen guys hit the gates and just, like, drop the clutch and rip through the gate. And there's these pins that hold the gate in, and they shear the pins and they break the gate. I've seen it over and over. We need to make it mandatory that these tracks have gates that do not fall forward. Because I'm pretty sure Jet didn't hit it hard enough to push the gate forward. So make a stop, make a gate that stops, which I believe some do. Some will not go forward. Make it mandatory that unless you hit this thing at Mach 5 and shear these pins, this gate is not going forward. It will trap your front wheel, or you need to pull back.
So we can also avoid that. Yeah, I read a tweet from someone, and dangerous going off Twitter, but someone was saying that these gates are, they give them room to go forward, because if they don't, they break, and then that's a very, very big problem. So trying to prevent an issue for starts for the rest of the day or the rest, whatever, weekend.
Oh, they got to fix the sheared gate.
Right.
That's what they're trying to avoid. Okay.
Right? If they had to do a restart or anything, like say they had red flagged it.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't have, like, the gate would be broken effectively. So that's what they're trying to work again.
Make every gate 42 gates. So if you do break your gate.
I'm not an engineer.
Yeah, I know. I'm not either.
But it's just what I read.
I'm glad I don't seem like I'm on crazy island with you two guys on that, with that take.
If it's possible to build one that doesn't go forward but also doesn't break, yes, you'd be correct. But I don't know if that's doable.
I don't think that's possible, because if you hit a gate doing Mach 4 on a 450, you're going to break it. But anyways,
the great vision. I don't know if that you can make that reality. Yeah.
You know, because it honestly, like,
it was odd that it went forward.
Do you think at all that anybody from MX Sports or the AMA goes and inspects these tracks' gates to make sure they're up to spec? Like, it's probably just like, well, Washougal's been there for 40 years. It's worked great. Let's just go racing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, should we look at gates and spec these things out?
Yeah, maybe. I honestly don't know the answer. They might actually, someone might be listening to this right now, punching the air saying, we do that.
Right. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Actually. Yeah, I don't know. Right.
Yeah.
Because I would like to talk about my gate at Washougal, and I don't feel like it fell.
Oh.
I don't feel like it fell on the same time.
Saturday.
What?
Seemed pretty good for Hunter on Saturday in the same gate.
Yeah, I think something happened with my gate, but we might want to look into it.
On Friday, the same gate that I used, like, back and forth with you, that's the one? Same one?
Same one.
Okay, got it.
Thank you to Fly Racing, Renthal as well. Speaking of Renthal, check out their mountain bike parts available in power sports dealers nationwide. Lock-on grips are crushing it with those guys at Renthal. Fat bar, 7/8 bar, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what kind of bar Renthal makes. Wygant won't be able to put it on correctly. Renthal.com, sprockets, chains, all of that. Honda, Kawasaki, KTM. Thanks to Renthal.
True story. That's a true story. I did get some Renthal bars, courtesy of our friend Paul at Renthal. And then I called Sean Ulikowski and had him put the bars on the bikes. So you are correct.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yep. Once I saw that photo of that axle nut that you tried to put on backwards, I have nothing, like nothing, no faith in you. There's nothing you
can
do.
What's funny is he discovered that when he was changing the bars.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. And Ulo will be a guest on an upcoming Pulp MX show from Charlotte, and he will tell that story.
Yeah. Well, J-Bone talk about the swing arm pivot bolt was out of my kid's bike when he was racing at Daytona. I don't know how it held. I guess the right side bolt was enough. The left side was gone. It was just missing.
Good God. Okay. Yeah. That's enough on that. But listen, so Jet.
Hey, can I clarify one thing, by the way?
Jet won the moto that he was the next moto. He won that.
Can I clarify one thing, by the way?
Yeah.
This is all AMA. This is not MX Sports. This does not have anything to do with. They really have tried, and I think it's because of the sports betting. There is a massive separation now. Feld and MX Sports don't do penalties. The AMA does. They have to have a neutral, non-promoter, third party. That's like part of the process they had to go through like 3 years or whatever they went through to be, what was the term? Sport?
Compliant?
Something. Something.
Okay.
You can't have legalized sports betting when it appears the shady things are going on. So if you're mad, you got to be mad at the AMA.
Accredited, maybe.
What's that?
Accredited, maybe.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
They are not involved. I am shocked, though. I interviewed Jet after the race on the Weed Show, and he said, hey, the one good thing is I don't have to do drug testing today because I didn't have a good result Then I'm like, oh, great.
I saw that. You're like, now, don't say that.
Say that the AMA did this on purpose to get you out of the drug test.
I was dying.
Yeah, we had pee testing, and the guys were so hot and humid, nobody could pee.
Yeah, it was Hunter, like 2 hours.
Yeah.
So I predicted, I'm like, hey, how long before the conspiracy theory video hits that this was just the AMA protecting Jet, knowing there was a drug test coming at the end of the day? I actually haven't heard that. What I didn't have on the radar was this was done to make sure he doesn't wrap up the title early. That's one of the conspiracy theories. Or they announced Team USA, the AMA did, and they're trying to get back at Team Australia.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that YouTube comment with that, and I could not shake my head in disgust any quicker.
The Team USA manager made the call. Hey, folks, you decide. You decide. I thought the drug testing would be the number one conspiracy theory, but it was
Team USA. You didn't have USA on the bingo card, right?
So Jet, at October 5th, when that gate's about to drop, you think about this. You think about this.
So Jet won the moto, the next moto, the second moto. Got a decent start from gate. I got a funny story about that. Well, I'll get into it now. So I talked to my buddy Hari Koulis, and at the end of the day, Hari told me his second moto, he's stoked because Cody Shock is on the inside of him. And he's like, I'm going to line up right to the outside of Cody Shock because he's got gate 14 or whatever, right? And he's like, Cody Shock's a great starter, and I will just hug next to Cody Shock and go around the corner, and I'll come out great. Except then he said he forgot about the penalty, and to his right is Jet Lawrence. And he's like, I'm screwed. So he says to Jet, hey, man, you want my gate? One closer? And Jet goes, nah. Harry's like, my rut's better. You should take my gate. And Jet's like, no, I'm good. And Hari's like, fuck. So what happens? Pinched off by Jet Lawrence.
Oh, yeah.
Hari had a master plan of lining up next to Cody Shock.
Oh,
and Jet screwed it. Yep. So it was a really funny story, he said. But he was like, oh, just take my gate, please. Your rut's screwed. Anything. Just anything. So Jet won the next moto, really in convincing style, and moved through the pack, passed everybody, and rode great. All right,
hey,
Chase.
Can you imagine if it wasn't Hunter and a teammate winning the race? And can you imagine if the championship was close? Like, go back to the 2023 Sexton Tomac title. Imagine if this happened that year.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, that's 17 points. What is it, something like that?
17 spot, 4 points.
17 spot, he scored 4. He would have got 20 in the moto. Something like that.
No, wait, wasn't he second?
The only reason this isn't even a bigger deal is because no one thinks it's actually going to decide the title. Can you imagine?
Did Jet get second?
There's a 16-point third differential.
Oh, third. Okay. All right, Chase Sexton. What's up, man?
So I have a question about what you said earlier. Did Ian say that this something got caught in the front brake before he crashed that caused the crash?
That seems to be what they're indicating. Well, yeah, the brake locked up. Is
James and I were going back and forth on what actually happened, and James kind of like surmised that it was a mistake by Chase, got like crazy and then crashed. And I was like, I don't think Chase would just necessarily do that on his own accord. Like, that's a like front brake was locked in the air. He's something surprised him here. This wasn't just a mistake. So I didn't know if I was right or wrong, but I was just kind of looking for any clarification from the KTM side.
Yeah, that's what Ian had said. And he had mentioned that they had another problem with the rear brake with debris from the same section a few years ago, which I don't remember. I don't know what Roddy was talking about. I don't know, either one of you do. But obviously, that wasn't good. Wins the first moto. Rides great to win the first moto. Chase does. And then that happens. And, you know, it is... Picks the bike up, front brakes locked, grabs the gas, loops out almost again, rides off the track, brakes stuck on, drops the bike, walks off. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
He did try to ride it back several times, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was right in front of me. I was in the manager's tower there watching. He could have came in for a repair, but, at that point, if you're Chase Sexton,
he was trying to get there. First time he crashed hard. Trying to get going.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he crashed again, simply trying to do 2 miles an hour. So, I think
it's not good, Weech.
Was his bike, by the way, was it there? It had to be, right? There was no way to get to it. Wasn't it on the inside of that first turn, or this, I guess, the last turn?
They crossed the track and got to it.
They did?
Yeah.
Yeah, John Starling, the hero, went over there while it was still running. Chase just dropped off and walked off. No, not really. No.
Okay.
I snapped a good photo of it. Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. There's no way they can get it. It's the worst spot you could possibly park.
No. Chase rode it off to the side, dropped it. Because once he got it upright and going, you could see the front wheel was really turning. It was moving, but barely, dragging badly. Yeah. And then that was it. So
the jump, the screwing up of the jump.
Yeah. Why there? Right? Like,
do we think it's just a break? Like, I was even going back to that crazy crash you had at Nashville last year where they said the throttle stuck and we're like, ha, Chase Sexton, you crash all the time. Yeah, right. But it turned out to be true.
No, that's what Ian's saying. There's something got in the brake to cause the crazy jump.
The compression.
You don't think anything happened to the throttle, though?
No.
It just.
No, I think if anything was wrong with the throttle, it was from the crash from the off the jump, you know, like.
Yeah.
Stuck with mud or whatever after he crashed off the jump due to the front brake.
Okay. Like whatever had happened, the main reason I thought it caused the crash was because the front wheel wasn't rotating in the air.
Yeah,
like moving forward that fast, you're going to have that gyro effect. It's going to move, and that wasn't happening, which was like, okay, this happened before that, which caused him to get way off kilter, out of balance, shot to the side. I just couldn't imagine a world where this. The front wheel wouldn't be moving if that wasn't the root cause of the crash.
Yeah, it was bizarre for sure. And then maybe the throttle weege after that, packed with mud as it laid there, you know, because that looked weird too.
That donut that he did that knocked himself down.
That was wild.
Just a byproduct of a locked front wheel and he's trying to get going? Yes. Or is that throttle and brake?
That could be a throttle packed with mud. Sure. Yeah.
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah. Yeah. The grip pushed onto the bar. From the crash, you know?
Yep.
And then, you know, your throttle turns really slowly and then it sticks or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like when you take that crash, you take that Nashville crash, you take that Paula opener, you're just like, I don't know, man. I don't know. And, like, yeah, it's not good. Look, he's leaving KTM, but, yeah. Ian looked a little shook at the end of the day. I did talk to him. He hadn't had a chance to look at the bike yet, but I said, hey, we'll just focus on the positives. He's like, okay.
Yeah. You know, one minor thing that this affects here, it's not like Sexton was in the championship chase, but he and Jett were almost going to be dead even for second.
Well, here we go.
Playoff
here
seating.
We go. Yep.
Okay. Well, I mean, look, that could be $500,000, $1 million difference, these points. I keep hearing the riders say it doesn't matter. There's triple points at the last race. It'll all work out. And I'm like, this keeps coming down to one or two points. So this probably will affect Jet or Chase still, by one or two points.
But Chase still has a pretty big lead because it was pretty much even Steven. There was Chase really good moto, the Jet barely got any points, and the Jet had a second moto, and the Chase got zero. So it was only like a 4-point differential at the end of the day.
Yeah, but combined. If Chase, with the penalty, if that doesn't happen to Chase's bike, there's no chance Jet gets to him.
Oh, no, totally. Right. I'm just saying at the end, it was almost a wash. Right. So,
yeah, I guess you could look at it that way. Either
between
thing
the 17th and the DNF. Right.
Thing could have not happened. But I'm just like, oh, Chase is definitely going to end up second in the seating now.
But if you're Chase and you're like you have the lead, it's actually a net positive. Right. Like maybe not as a net positive it could have been, but it's still a net positive. You got a weekend. I think he's still like 20 something up with two rounds to go. It's like 27 or something, I think.
The record for leaving a race is Coy Gibbs at Washougal at intermission with Kyle Riegel. But I think in the top five is Sexton's motorhome after Ironman.
Oh, really?
The motorhome was out of there. And I don't know if he was in it. I don't know all that. But the motorhome was out of there. So, probably not too stoked on life.
Hey, we need to bring up the battle there, that first moto, back when things were normal, before penalties and brake problems. JT, the battle there between Jet and Chase, that's all good?
Yeah, I mean, that was just racing. Like, Jet got really aggressive one time. Chase got aggressive, like, and from the outside even, right? Like, I always say that it's really hard to be in the wrong if you're on the outside. like it's very hard to be the offender or like do something over the line from the outside. So, I didn't see anything wrong with it at all. You know, like if you wanted to argue anything, you could say that like Jet was kind of trying to force it when he didn't have the angle, and then he almost high sided over Chase. But I didn't think there was anything wrong with any of that.
I thought that was cool. That was a really neat bit of racing.
Yeah.
And then Chase made a mention, you know, afterwards, Chase didn't seem upset at all, you know?
No, Chase even said, like, he's, you know, like, what did he say, right. Like, really good kid or something? I don't know, whatever.
I think it's cool because I think that's what everybody's wanted to see, right? Like, I think in the past there's been criticism of Sexton making the wrong move at the wrong time, but that was two rights for sure.
Well, and Chase fought. Like, that's we've been saying. Like, he has kind of relented so many times to Jet in that moment. Like you go back to Unadilla 23, there's been a million times where he has just not been able to hold strong there. And I think if you look at Washougal and you look at this, if you're looking for improvement or progress on that front, you're seeing that.
True.
RJ Hampshire, it was coming. We talked about it in recent shows. 3-4, second overall. Just the fact that he got on the podium, second overall, obviously with a little bit of luck with the 3-4, but hey man, he rode really well. He fought hard. He told me he got some new forks from Europe that have helped a lot. And he's still fighting the bike balance issue a little bit, but these forks are good. And he's stoked. Yeah, good job, RJ Hampshire. I asked him, you know, what's the difference between the pack you were at to start the year and the pack you're in now? And he said, just the intensity, like not the speed, but the how long these guys can go that speed for. So 3-4 on the day for RJ Hampshire, second overall. That's awesome. It's cool.
One of the best stories of the summer.
It is. Yeah, it really is. And we've talked about this a ton. He doesn't have any RJ moments. He's not getting a stake in the heart. He's not going off the track. He's not any of that. Like, he's just calm, cool. Just, you know, he did say he blew his feet off late in Moto 1 on that triple in the back. But, I mean, that was just a bump, a hole he said that he hit. Like, it wasn't, you know, a case of him being pinned, right? So, yeah. I'm better on a 450. RJ Hampshire, it actually worked. It finally worked for somebody.
Dude's a style.
Eli Tomac, 6'3". And then like maybe 10 minutes after Moto 1, he shoots a tweet out to me. So I don't know what was more impressive.
All right. Give me the synopsis of that.
It's incredible.
So I don't know he's not feeling well. Okay. I just see him go from first to seventh. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. Definitely not riding very well. But we've seen some Eli Tomac weirdo rides, not recently, but we've seen it. So not I'm recently. Like thinking about, I'm thinking of the sag. I don't know.
It happened two races ago.
Yeah. Well, wait, what did he?
Millville.
Right. Yes. Thank you. I knew it had happened. I honestly didn't think about Millville. So I'm going to admit that right now. Okay. So I guess he's under the weather. His pants broke.
I did know this, by the way.
Right. Okay. So I didn't. His pants broke, apparently, too.
And this is what I hate, is that we were asked to not share this publicly.
Yeah.
I hate
right.
it.
Right. Ridiculous. So, but anyways, I've been vocal about his title chances. When he won the title 3 years ago, he was the oldest champion we've had. Since then, he's had two serious injuries. And I just, Father Time is undefeated. You two, we've argued this. I've said this. Mm-hmm. I like Eli. He's an all-timer. He's a legend. I just don't see it happening. And so when he was fading, there was a lot in my timeline about, you know, I can't believe this. This is amazing. This is so shitty. What's happening? Poor Eli. Like all this stuff, right? In my timeline. So Weege, I just fire off like, hey, man, I know some of you guys have yelled at me, but this is what I thought. He's older and he's trying to do something that's never been done before in the sport, which is win a title at his age. That I said that in a tweet. I quote tweeted some guy that talked about how he couldn't believe what he was seeing. And I said that. And then Eli just fires back 10 minutes after the moto about like not going to a press conference, which like of all the things you're going to say, you're going to just talk about me not going to a press conference. Like you could come at me for a lot of things, but first of all, I'm stoked he tracks my attendance at races. Who knew? Who knew he didn't know I was at Red Bud? So that's cool. And then he makes a crack about fireworks, which was wrong also. I'm sure he's not a listener, But
I don't know. He revealed a lot of knowledge right there. He said you didn't go to Redbud because of fireworks, right?
Yes. Yes.
That is not why you didn't go. But that reveals that Eli Tomac knows that you don't like fireworks, which is true, which is a shocking amount of knowledge. So now I'm wondering how much other stuff he knows.
Well, we know the Zach Osborne tractor tweet. Yeah.
Yes.
And then but my thing with fireworks is man, after an hour, it's good. That's my thing with fireworks. Like an hour, 2 hours of colors in the sky. Can we end it after that? That's my take on fireworks.
There's no way you thought Eli knew you had any thoughts on fireworks at all. And now you know.
He didn't know I went to Redbud. How would he know I didn't even go to Redbud?
So I'm wondering, there could be 300 other things that he's aware of that we didn't know he was aware of. Like, what's the end of his knowledge base? This is an incredible amount.
Nobody knows. And also, this is 10 minutes after the moto.
Yeah.
This is Weston Pike to Cole Seeley. How'd that work out for you?
So is he doing this every weekend? Is he going on Twitter after the first moto every weekend?
As with a lot of things, nobody knows.
Wowzers.
So I went to go find him after the race. Didn't find him, but I would like to talk to him about this. And I don't even feel like I don't even feel like my tweet was anything bad. I really don't. I wasn't like, hey man, Eli sucks. Hey, Eli's terrible. I feel like my tweet was just here's what I was thinking. But the greater part is that he was sick and dropped back. But no one knew this. Well, JT did, but couldn't say it.
I love that he went after you. That's great. Yep. I fully knew you would. That. Right. I wish he had mentioned the children's chalk on the sidewalk. I wish he had thrown that in there also. Yep.
Okay.
But I do hate the him being sick and we're not allowed to talk about it, because all that happens, I understand the logic of you don't want Hunter to be behind you and you're chasing him for the lead and be like, I can get him. He's sick. I gotta keep going. He's gonna crack because he's sick if I hang in there. Like, I understand that you don't want to give Hunter or Jet or anybody that edge. I get it. But what happens in this scenario is all we are left to think is, what? You're tired? You look tired, right? And that's not fair. That's not accurate. But that's all we're left with, is either you just don't have it anymore or you're really tired, which neither are true, but that's the only thing we're left to look at. That's what I hate the most about it. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is other than just full transparency. But I, the entire time he was racing, both motos, I was with gritted teeth being like, we should be talking about him being sick and overcoming sickness, getting on the podium even though he's sick, not what happened to him. Why did he fade? Why he got the whole shot in both motos and he went backwards. Like, what's that about? That's what we're talking about. That shouldn't be the story. It should be like the flu game. It should be like Brett Favre or Michael Jordan talking about how he's sick and he's still overcoming it and still performing. Like, that should be the narrative, not the other side of it. And that's what happens when you're not allowed to tell anybody, or you don't tell people that they can share this story. So that's where I really struggle with it. And I think he's doing more harm than good by trying to protect this secret or whatever.
I don't have a problem with a rider tweeting back at me. I mean, we tweet about these guys and say things about these guys. And so it's all fair game. I have no problem if it's done respectfully or whatever. I have no issues with that. But I didn't know where this really came from. I was gobsmacked. I was like, wait, what? I was just explaining that you're trying to do something that's never been done in the sport's history, and I don't think you can do it. Sorry, not sorry, not sorry.
I was very excited he went after you.
No, trust me. Other people in the press tent, guys from Britain, guys from St. Louis. A lot of guys excited about this. So you weren't alone.
Steve, if you wanted to talk to Eli after the race, he was in the press conference.
Yes. So it was suggested
such a great point
by many people, including the sports media guy, Brandon Short, that I go to the press conference.
Mm.
And that would be, honestly, so we don't have the time to get into it. Everybody knows why myself and many others don't go to the press conferences. Feld and MX Sports won't really work with us, so we do what we can.
Hey, let me make that even more clear. When the people watch the press conference and say these questions suck, why isn't the press in there to ask questions? It's because the actual schedule is the scrum to talk to riders that aren't on the podium takes place at the exact same time as the press conference. So as a media person, you have to choose one or the other. I just want people to know that.
Yeah.
Because I think
yeah,
fans are confused every week. Yes.
But
sorry.
Me showing at the press conference and putting my hand up and being like, yeah, Eli, Steve Mathis, Pony Pod, that would just be a look at me moment. I'm not going to change that. I'm not going to go in there and be like, hey, Mathis confronted Eli. I don't give a shit. Like, I'm not going to change my normal routine to ask Eli one question at the press conference to show him I'm there. I like Eli. I like John. I like Kathy. Kathy loves Basset Hounds. They're all good people. I thought this was a little bizarre. Not out of line, but just a little bizarre. Like,
oh, great.
Like you're attacking me for a press conference and not going to Redbud and fireworks? Like
I think
wait.
it could have been drafted better. I wish he had consulted me to find some things to
sure.
go at you about.
Yeah.
But the overall concept of going at you in between motos, I am fully on board with.
I believe he's tweeted twice in 2 years. Once at Zach Osborne for Zach saying he roosted Eli on purpose. And then once for me for not going to Redbud and fireworks. So stay tuned, everybody.
I think he's mad at your tweet. And then he just jabbed with some of the inside jokes that we didn't know he knew that he does know. And he was using that instead of just saying, well, I guess he couldn't say anything because he couldn't admit that the problem was that he was sick.
Yeah,
so he went with the press conference.
But again, like to me, like I think if you go through my timeline, never once I've been like, he's washed up. He's old. He sucks. Like, dude, he's a legend. I like history of the sport, and I'm just opining on that. So,
I mean, when you and Supercross say that he's can't or not going to win the title because of his age, like,
yeah,
riders are not going to like that. You know that. That's just how it's going to go. How it's going to go.
That's fine. All right, so third overall for Eli. He was sick, and apparently maybe pants broke in Moto 1 also. So rebounded with the third in Moto 2, third overall for him. And Team USA was picked. Also, obviously, Sexton, Deegs, Tomac, great team. Should be awesome to watch. Lewis's take on Twitter was obscene, that if they don't win, it's one of the greatest upsets ever.
Yeah, I pushed back on that pretty hard.
That's crazy, but it's a great team. Good job to all three of those guys for doing it, too. So that's cool.
I just did not remember, like,
old
96 team. 86 team. It's not.
And also credit to their old teams for two out of the three for letting them continue to race on their old teams and bikes.
Yeah. No, good point on that. All right. Justin Cooper got Jorge Prado on the last lap for fourth overall. I went over to Cowie to talk to Oscar and was telling him like, yeah, man, fourth overall. Like, that's awesome. You guys did it. Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, Justin Cooper got us on the last lap. So Jorge did a 2:23 on the last lap and got passed. He was V-tired. But
hold on. Do we know the differential going into the white flag? Because I feel like he got passed and then he's like, okay, I'm done. Like, I don't feel like.
I got passed on the last lap, though, from what those
guys
told me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, I think. What I'm thinking,
he got passed early in the last lap.
Okay, that's it. Right, like I don't think he was like 10 seconds ahead of Justin Cooper on the white flag.
Well,
and he did a 2:23. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But good day for Jorge. He passed people, passed guys, worked forward. They got some new settings on the bike. Yeah,
all you gotta do is practice Supercross during the break. You'll get a lot better. That's all you gotta do.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah.
Then he told Lewis that they found something new in the morning before practice, Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And they solved all the engine problems.
KYB setting, right?
No, the engine problem is now solved with this part.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
I was told it was a KYB thing. They found something on a suspension because Jorge was saying that the bike was bottoming and hurting his shoulders, apparently. But maybe that wasn't the problem this week. But anyways, he passed guys. He rode well. 5-6 on the day, fifth overall, his best national in, since probably Hangtown, right?
It was hot too, man. I know we talked about it off the top, but like for people that weren't there, it was so underrated of a hot national. It was brutal.
So what do you guys make of these rumors of him going back to KTM? Like there is something there.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was investigating. I don't know if it's going to happen, but
Right.
I mean, I know that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I am not saying it's happening on this pod. Do not radio me. But
no,
there's something there.
Oh, I mean, they've been calling. They've been calling everybody. They've been calling everybody. So to think that a conversation hasn't happened,
right,
is wrong. That is factually wrong.
And apparently,
Cowie's. I know though.
And apparently, Cowie's like, cool, man. If you want to go, go. So I had somebody that knows things say like, yeah, maybe just two more for him. So like not even doing SMX.
I would say it's still unlikely that it goes this way.
Okay.
That's my take. Is it impossible? No. Because when you have people that are like, when you have a situation that this is this drastic and there's this much money involved, it's possible, but I would still say it's very unlikely.
Yeah, listen, if he does, he's walking away from a lot of money from Cowie to take low money at KTM if he happens to do it. But we'll see. Yeah, stay tuned. Dylan Ferrandis came back. Seventh for Dylan Ferrandis. 7-8. Good job for Dylan. I talked to him a little bit on a text. He seemed excited to be back. Malcolm Stewart, 9-7. Barcia, honestly, I don't know if I noticed Justin Barcia all day long. Seriously,
Besides the first moto gate drop.
Yeah. Besides him doing that. 8-9 on the day for Barcia. Like I guess
Ferrandis fell in the first turn of the second moto and got to Barcia.
They were battling
at the end.
Yeah.
Ferrandis fell in the first turn?
Second moto. Yeah, I didn't realize that until after the race.
Yeah, you talked to James Coy, right?
Yeah. So that was actually really good. And then he was battling Barcia. I guess he got him too.
Oh yeah, look at that. 28 passes for Dylan Ferrandis.
Wow.
In Moto 2.
Really good at Unadilla.
And I mentioned Pacharel. He did go down the first turn. Pacharel did for sure. 21 passes for him in Moto 2. So good job for Pacharel.
I would say for those guys, especially how hot it was and humid it was, I thought they did a good job. Like even Guillot, like all of them, I wondered how this was going to go, and I thought they did okay.
Cody Schock got great starts, 11-10 on the day for him. He does have he's having his rear brake problem. He's got an ankle injury. And it's causing him to drag the rear brake, and the rear brakes are going out on him. So that happened to him in both motos, Cody Schock. So he's not blaming the bike or the team. Like, it's him. He's got something on with an ankle, and it causes him to drag a rear brake. So maybe they could put the brake on the bar.
Oh.
I mean, just saying. We know they have the technology over there.
They do.
Guillaud, I question Valentin's race strategy. I heard
I would say the prep.
He left Washougal, went to Switzerland, and then took a red eye back and landed Friday morning.
Yes.
I don't know if that's the smartest prep.
No riding. He didn't ride.
No riding. Time. Right into the heat of Ironman and 14:11 on the day for Valentin.
That's why I was like so nervous about how this was going to go, because it has been like really nice. When I say nice, I'm talking like 75, 72 in Europe, not, you know, 90 and 75, 80% humidity. Yeah.
So, but Guillaume did all right. Coolest. Harrison, 10th in first moto. Again, he's doing well. Mitchell Harrison is. And I think PRMX is talking to Guillaume for next year for 250 Supercross, 450 motocross. Yeah. Oh, PRMX. Okay. Yep.
Wow.
Lorenzo was good too. Lorenzo's been solid pretty late lately. 12th in the moto really too. Good.
First moto was amazing.
Yep. Welton quit his team at the end of the day. So Welton's going over to MX6.
Oh.
Yep. Which is.
Is there any possibility he could get in on the Sexton Prado trade?
Like you throw in Welton and a mechanic and Prado, Ford Sexton. Right,
he's like the also ran in a trade. You know, it's like I'll give you a first rounder, and a second rounder, and then
he's
like
he's like the Chris Betts. He's like the Chris Betts. Yeah, we'll give you Chris Betts and Prado,
right,
for Sexton.
They traded Thrasher for Barcia one time.
Yeah, you're right. what happened to Webster second moto? Just didn't start, but like
too hot.
Okay.
Yeah. Overheated.
By the way, I thought it was cool that the AMA / MX Sports / America let the Australians announce their team also at the podium. I mean, we all knew what it was and everything else, but that's cool. Like, that's kind of neat.
Cool. Tim Cotter did a great job, honestly, interviewing them. I was watching. Like, Tim Cotter's interviewed more people than I will in my entire life. He did a great job.
So yeah, that was just cool.
A classy move. A classy move.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Classy move. All right, everybody. That's 450 class from Iron Man. Thank you to the folks at Maxxis Tires as well. Great guys over there. PRMX, Mitchell Harrison getting top tens with Maxxis Tires, developed by some guy named Jeremy McGrath. He's a pretty good racer, I understand. Maxxis.com for more information on that. Go to the website to get some tires. It's a gift from the Moto Science Nerds to you people. I used a paddle, Maxxis paddle, at Paula to go 6-6 at the regional that Chicken then never showed at the ranch. Thanks, Chicken. Maxxis Tires, mountain bike tires are great. Fly Racing, Renthal as well. Thank you to them. Motorsport.com as well. Go through the banner to help us out on PulpMX.com. I placed an order from some project bike parts from Motorsport.com. They showed up in 2 days. It was sweet. Motorsport.com, they're driven to ride sweepstakes. I think it's over now, but they gave away a YZ450. And yeah, the great guys over there. The number one online ordering place in the world, Motorsport.com. Thank you to those guys for coming on board. Okay, anything else 450-wise?
Nope.
I don't
okay.
think so.
250s. I was kind of surprised that Joe Shimoda has been on lately. By the way, have you followed his social lately? He was talking about a cat. His hand came off, and then he crashed really bad. But then he said, "I'm like a cat. I'm fine." And then
Joe's awesome. That's all I know.
Yeah. And then I DM'd him and said, "Like a cat." And then he said, "No, a tiger, but it's in the cat category." I'm here for Joe right now.
I think Joe was just in my front yard at the beginning of this pod.
Okay. I don't understand.
You remember the cat? That's what.
Oh, yeah, the cat. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So count. I did not think Joe. I don't know if this is. He slowed down for a Red Cross, so that hurt him a little bit. And Deegs is a beast, hot when it's hot and rough and everything else. But I count me as surprised that Joe let Deegs catch him in Moto One.
Oh, really?
That was a big lead. That was a big lead.
Yeah, I think when all things are equal, this is what it's been. Like, Deegs has just been a little better. Not miles better, like he is than everybody else in the class. Just a little better. And when the conditions are super extreme, he just proved he was a little better again.
Like, but he had really 7 seconds halfway through the moto.
I know, when it's that hot and that difficult, he just proved that he's a little fitter and a little better. And that's what he did to them both motos. And they dominated everybody else. Like, it wasn't even close. Which, if you go back to the opener, the second round, third round, like, that's what we were getting. Like, he was just a little better. And now that Hayden's healthy again, we're right back to where we were.
I had somebody say, well, look, next year it should be Jaime's class, right? And I was like,
What about Joe?
What?
Why wouldn't Joe?
I was like,
You don't think Joe would be in that?
No, this
crazy,
person right? said Jaime's. I didn't say that.
I know, but like I'm saying, like when you go, why wouldn't you immediately say, why wouldn't Joe be in that conversation?
Because I was thinking of Joe. I was like, what about Joe? Like, I don't know if you can say that. Like, it wasn't Chris Jaime's who said it. It was the guy.
Yeah, could Jaime's win? Absolutely.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Like, Joe deserves better than that right now.
Yeah, yeah. Like, to me, like, this is setting Joe up to be like, when we do this stupid motocross preview show that Eli is going to send a tweet about next year.
Probably the favorite.
I'm gonna say Joe Shimoda is the guy.
He's probably the favorite.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. We each, right?
Hey, well, we know how Shimoda does it. He starts the year hot. He's the only guy that's aggressive enough to try to block past Deegs. We know how Joe does it.
Is there anything to Joe thinking that Hayden's on a 450?
That was hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Has there been an investigation? Have we looked? Have we asked? No? You cleared yourself with Brian on the Hayden's riding a 450 at Bud's Creek.
Yeah, and then I cleared it on the air on the show.
Did? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I said there was a rumor out there reported by me that Hayden would race a 450. And I said, we got a call from Bobby Regan, who owns the team, and said, this is happening. Put it out there. So then I did talk to Brian in the morning. I think the problem is Brian doesn't want to get into a public spat with the owner of the team. So that's why there hasn't been much chatter besides him saying we're fake news, but I'm actually okay with that because it is going to turn out to be fake news, I believe. I don't think he is going to race 450 at Bud's. And I mean, none of us expected him to. It didn't really make any sense at all for like 9 different reasons. So they never had intent. And I don't know where that came from, but we do know that Bobby gets excited about stuff. You know, he sees lap times and he gets pumped. So maybe that's where it came from. But Brian said, no, they never really talked about it or discussed it. And then for the nine other reasons we would all agree on, why would he do it? Like, what?
Yeah, made no sense.
You're not going to win.
No.
The likelihood of winning. He also said, I was actually surprised by this one. He's like, also, it looks super disrespectful to Joe to be like, yeah, we got this. We're already thinking 450. They only had a 45-point lead. Joe could have just won the last three races. It's like, we got to focus on winning this title. This is not time to play around on a 450 and take your eye off the ball, which was true. So, yeah, there was – well, from Brian and Hayden's side, that was not happening. My bad.
So Deegs and Schmoder were really good, like JT said, way better than Tom Vial. But Tom rode well to go 3-3 on the day, kind of all by himself, but good job for Vial. It hasn't been going that well for him. Then there's a rumor that he's not doing designations. Vial's not doing designations, which I find really weird. I mean, we all expect him to go to Honda MXGP class next year, but you're at Ironman, you're in America, you're going to do Paris on a Honda November 15th. First weekend of October is designations. It's France. Gauthier Paulin was there, apparently. Sneaky little bastards, like, scouting everything out. It doesn't make sense that Vial wouldn't do it, but I guess maybe not.
Gauthier, I talked to him a few times. I was trying to get him on the show, and it just didn't work. And I apologize to Gauthier if he hears about this, because I was trying. But he was talking to Tom's dad quite a bit. So I don't know if he was like trying to talk him into it or if there's still some wiggle room there, but I heard the same rumors you did about him not doing it. But I have a feeling that Paul Ann was trying to convince him otherwise this weekend.
Yeah, man. I'm surprised because those guys have total buy-in from all the riders. The France does all the time. So
I'll be right back. I got to do something. You guys talk.
Okay. All right. Don't turn your camera off. Marchbanks fourth overall, and the great Garrett Marchbanks saga of 2026 is over. Weege. He's gonna be back at PC. There was a lot of talk about Cowie couldn't afford him. Mitch, I talked to Mitch Payton about it, and he was going to pay it out of his pocket. Mitch was to make it happen, but in the end, I don't think he has to. I think Kawasaki stepped up agreed to keep Garrett and. So Marchbanks will be on the team next year, which is a good thing. And then, like, I think what'll happen, because you know me, I'm plugged in with the amateurs. Also, I guess Enzo Timmerman is upset at me also, so just add him to the list. Timmerman will do futures, and then if there's any injuries, which there could be at Pro Circuit.
A lot of those.
Why is he mad at you?
He seems like a great kid. He's passed me at Glen Helen 800 times. Mm-hmm. But I don't like that he has Enzo on the back of his jersey.
Oh.
I feel like you're an up-and-coming kid. You're not Prince. You're not Madonna. You're not, you know, if Jet Lawrence wanted to show up and have Jet on the back, dude, you can do that. You can do that. You want to have, what was Bubba's thing? J-Mac? If you want to have J-Mac on the back, you can go ahead because you're James Stewart. If you want J-Mac to happen. But J-Mac. So Timmerman's parents told Blair that when he was little, Timmerman wouldn't fit on a jersey because he had little shoulders because he was a little kid.
Mm. This feels old man yelling at the clouds.
Yeah, maybe. So anyways, but he had Timmerman. Anyway, so Marchbanks back with PC, Timmerman staying on Team Green, futures, outdoors if there's an injury. So...
And the problem for PC, by the way, was just they had deals with every other guy. They re-signed Kitchen. They already had multiple years at Adams, McAdoo, and Hamaker. That was it. That's a four-rider team. That was the problem.
Yeah, and it's a good team.
I would ask this also for, you know, I think Marchbanks needed a spot. Like, he's too good to not have a spot, right? Like, I'm glad that got worked out. But thinking about Timmerman moving up, like, typically to get a spot on a team, you got to be better than the guys on the team. You know, like, and I don't know that, like, who would you replace one of those guys with if you're going to put Timmerman in there to go pro? Like, I had people asking me, like, and it's, the internet's on fire with Timmerman not having a ride after dominating Loretta's. That is where I'm coming with this. But I'm looking around and I don't see, like, a lot of guys that he would immediately, like, leapfrog past. You know what I mean? Like, that's.
I would just ask Weege, who was. With Kevin Windham. By the way, Windham announced the live announcing at Ironman. I'm like, Kevin Windham? And then I talked to him the other day. Weege, do you put Timmerman on the same level as Drew Adams? Because people I've talked to do not.
Well, here's where this all came to be. They both raced pro sport against each other at Loretta's last year, and Adams dominated, and Timmerman went like 4 or 5. So
okay,
there you go. I mean, that's literally probably where the bet by Cowie was made.
Yeah,
Drew Adams is our next guy. Now, Timmerman's had injuries, and that probably wasn't his best shot. But at some point, you got to make the call, and Drew Adams is their guy.
But I would also say that this weekend at SMX Next, like, if Timmerman wants to make that statement, he's got to go dominate again. Like, you have to go out this weekend at Ironman and go 1-1 and crush everyone. And he didn't do that. Like, he looked good.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like I just smashed everyone weekend either, you know? So he's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. And this isn't like at this particular conversation. It's just a larger conversation that I know is happening about. He won Horizon. He won Loretta's. He did everything. And then he has nowhere to go. Well, it's not always that easy.
But if you're Mitch Payton and you do have this spot open, and it's Marchbanks or Timmerman, sorry, it's Marchbanks all day long, of course.
It just is.
Are you guys with me on the end zone on the back of the jersey or no?
No.
Okay. I'll just be over here on Crazy Island then. Okay.
Yeah, you deal with Womack too.
I just worry about things that matter. That doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, fair. Drew Adams, 5th overall, career best for Drew. He's ridden there before at Ironman. He said it helped him a little bit, but 8.5 for 5th overall. Good job for Drew Adams. I like talking to Drew. I don't know if you guys know him that well.
Yeah, he's a super nice kid.
Yeah, really nice kid. He's got a personality. There's something there, right? No, like he's not just a robot. Like
my favorite hobby is talking with his like really close friend Dan Truman about trying to keep Drew Adams on the straight and narrow to make sure he's just like working towards being the best racer he can.
Yeah, Dan's great for that.
Yeah. Well, Dan's been there and done it, right? So he knows what not to do. So
do you think Dan is telling him, hey, look, man, I'm doing this, but you're not?
No. He's like, don't do these things because it's just trouble. Like Dan is incredibly responsible when it comes to other people.
Just not himself.
Well, I'd say it's questionable.
Right. Harup, 5'9" for McCall Harup. And then I heard he was staying next year now. He told me I'm going back next year. I'm 450s MXGP. And now I hear he might stay back and ride 450 motocross only next year for Triumph.
Doesn't that make sense, though? Like, I think it makes
sense. No, it doesn't make sense because I don't think you can sit out all spring and winter and then jump into 450 motocross. Like,
you did
I don't
it this
know.
Year?
No, I know, but like for your career, like for your growth as a rider, like if he wants to be here, start riding Supercross. Like that'll help you. It'll help you outdoors. I just don't know. Maybe he's horrific in Supercross. He never really got to try. It was like second week of Supercross when he hurt himself. So I don't know.
What does that tell you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. But
what the part that I don't get is what about the MXGP side? Aren't they like, hello, we in good faith kept this guy. Gave him a ride for a year thinking he wouldn't even race. Now he's not even going to race for us at all.
Well, I think that's the company's choice. I would think it's not Harup's choice. I think it would be in unison, right? It wouldn't be the company's be like, hey, screw you.
Yeah, it's just odd to me. It's like,
right.
They need to debut the 450 on both sides. Well, why would they wreck the one plan that they already made?
What I would surmise is maybe they don't have a great option for the 450 in motocross next summer here. So that gives them that he's already proven he can go fast on these tracks on a Triumph. So
I heard it was Jordan, like but
more of a sure thing. And then they could go get somebody to race some MXGP.
I would probably take Harup over Jordan on a 450 here.
I think motocross and riding style fits better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he's been, Jordan's been pretty solid this summer, but he's been better than him. He has beaten him most motos. Dude, isn't he like 5th in points or something crazy?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, he's. Yeah. Lewis and I did a pod in Seattle about Harup racing the 250 Motocross Nationals, and we said he'll start off a little slow, he'll get better, he'll be around 5th in the points, and everyone's going to like him because he's an awesome guy. We really nailed that one, by the way.
Just to put a button on that, I think you need to keep Jordan in 250 Supercross because he can win, right?
No, it was going to be 250 Supercross, 450 Motocross was what I was told from a higher up at Triumph earlier this year. Okay. But the Triumph tried to debut the 450 at Loretta's with Kiefer. They tried. So. Max Volin, good job for Max Volin, 7-8. He said he was dying the second moto, the late in the second moto. He was struggling, but he pulled it in, pulled it together. Levi Kitchen went down in moto one. And then in moto two, he was going, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but he was going backwards. He got passed by two or three guys, a couple of his teammates going backwards. And I was like, oh boy, this is not good for Levi. And then dude, he got like the Ivan Stewart, you know, that when you hit the button for the turbo
nitro,
and he just gone and started pulling away from Drew Adams and started pulling away from Hamaker and these guys. I don't know. He like regrouped.
I was not watching this battle. I will be honest.
Yeah. With you. Good job, Levi, for regrouping
Marchbanks
there.
Too. He got Marchbanks, I think.
Yeah, he got Marchbanks. Yeah.
Marchbanks. Yeah. What did he tell you? Did Marchbanks say that he rode so hard on press day that he threw up? Is that what he was explaining to you?
No, he rode too hard on press day where it took him out of it. He can't recover enough in time for Saturday.
Oh, I thought he meant that he threw up on press day.
I think he threw up on Saturday.
Okay.
He said he was getting, he doesn't remember the last few laps. It was getting really weird. Then he threw a joke about liberals in Canada in there. And then he said that, it was a really tough second moto for him. So, I took it to mean Weege, and maybe I'm forgetting it, but he rode too much too hard on Friday.
Yes. And it affected him on Saturday. Either he threw up or not, he was feeling it Saturday.
Yeah. It was freaking hot on Friday too. Like, I don't doubt it for a second that he said that. It was brutal.
I swear that was every bit of Loretta's. It felt the same as Loretta's on Friday. That's how bad it was.
Like, I'm not even trying to exaggerate here. There were times on Saturday where I'm like, I need to be careful here. Like, I'm getting too hot. And I wasn't even doing anything. But I was standing in the sun. And I'm like, I need to be like mindful of this because I can feel myself like getting too hot right now.
I did not feel like it was that bad. I really didn't.
Well, I was in the sun. I know you weren't in the sun a lot.
No.
But sometimes I was fine. But other times when I was standing in the sun for prolonged periods waiting for the podium and things, I was feeling it. I'll be honest with you, I was feeling it.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. It was hot. But to me, it was another hot national. Didn't stand out amongst other hot nationals.
You know, it could be the factor that I've been in Europe for 2 weeks and you live in Vegas, right? So I'm not as acclimated to it.
I'm conditioned. Yeah. Faulkner rode well, 11-10. He was further back in each moto, so he moved forward. I didn't. He qualified horrifically, I believe, and then went 11-10, so good job for Faulkner on there. Hamaker, 9-12. Thrasher, the good Thrasher, showed up, 13-11, I guess. Jordan Smith.
Thrasher.
This has been the same story since High Point. Thrasher goes 11-12 or 13, and you're like, he's back. He's good.
Well, dude, because it's been horrific.
I guess that's where the bar is. Yeah.
Parker Ross rode really Park. I don't know what happened to Parker Ross in Moto One. He was in the top 10, 11.
Bike problem. Something.
Yes. Pulled in the mechanics area, right?
Yeah.
Got looked at and then went back on the track and was shredding again. I thought he DNF'd and then was shredding again. And then seventh in Moto Two. Honestly, Mitch is full. Club has to be talking to Parker Ross. No offense to the Bar X guys, but Parker Ross needs to step up.
He's super fit. Like, I love that part.
Yeah.
He's super fit.
I don't know that. I wouldn't know the kid if I hit him with my intense taser.
Oh, yeah. He's really nice.
But that guy's legit. Also, speaking of that, his teammate, Dylan Schwartz, I think he was in neutral off the gate in Moto One.
Not a good weekend for Dylan Schwartz.
No. I don't know what happened. I would have beat Dylan Schwartz at Washougal if his Moto One start. For sure. Bomer was back, tough weekend, 15-13. He was up higher in both motos. First moto, he was like, what, fifth or something?
Yeah.
And Pierce Brown, oh boy. And Dax Bennick, oh boy.
Oh man.
Oh boy.
Do we have any I saw Pierce Brown walking, he looked okay.
Yeah.
But like as far as like injured, I don't think he's injured, but man, that was not the return that he was looking for.
No. No, he had a neck brace on at one point, but I guess he's okay. He tweeted that he was fine or just got checked out, banged up.
He looked okay when he was walking. I will
and
say that.
Bennick was fourth in Moto One and just backwards. I don't know, man. I mean, I think Bennick's leaving the team or whatever. Yeah.
I think
Bomer, not a good return for Bomer. Ryder D also went Husky backwards.
Bennick.
Yeah, Husky. Yeah, Bennick. Yeah. Ryder D went backwards. Jalik Swole hurt something during the week, I guess. And they didn't want him to race, but he wanted to try. I wish my fantasy team would have been aware of this.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I wouldn't have.
Yeah, I didn't know this either.
Yeah.
But 10th in Moto 1 and pulled out in Moto 2 after a crash. Mosman, I don't know what happened in the second moto. It's Mosman.
Crashed on the first lap.
And yeah, that's about it, I think. We actually had 43 guys race. Jet Reynolds broke his leg again, or cracked the bone in his leg. Yes. Yes,
come
Jet
on,
Reynolds.
Dude.
That might be a Styles Robertson, right? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Like, dude.
Dude. I
so bad.
That.
No,
I
not good.
Get your break.
We have
Lux
one more
Turner,
time. Yes.
And Avery Long, we're not good. All right. And also,
Avery had a bike problem in the first one.
First moto. Sure. Second moto got 14th. Yeah.
Yeah.
Before we go, do have a topic to discuss. And also, Brunt boots, their best selling Marin work boots, are not only built for the toughest job sites, they're completely waterproof. So, guys like Weege, guys that grind out home improvement projects, guys that are in the garage working, guys that, real man's man, guys like Weege. Brunt knows they have the best boots on the planet. They'll let you try any of their products on the job. They don't sacrifice comfort or durability. Brunt thought that was BS, so they built tough boots that feel great from day one. And, use the code Mathis to save with bruntworkwear.com. And, of course, Fly Racing, code PulpMX, Motorsport, Maxxis, Renthal, all on board with us. Weege Onyx Maps as well.
Yep, over 500,000 miles of trails mapped out. You can leave notes for people, or you can read the notes other people have left, so you get a much better idea of what this trail is all about. That could be single track trails for dirt bikes or trails for side by side. Steve, know anyone that has a side by side or has used a side by side anytime recently?
Yeah, absolutely, I do. Yeah, I'm now a UTV guy.
Still
have
it?
Did you get it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I got a problem with it. I got issues with it.
Okay.
So
shocker.
Okay. I feel like we would have been hearing more, but anyway, if you need to
but
know
it's
where
sweet.
To go,
it's really sweet. And I'm mapping out some things to go. So yes.
Well, you know how to do it. Onyx Maps is the way to do it. OnyxMaps.com or Onyx Off-Road in the App Store. Download it. Take it for a test ride.
All right. Two more to go. Unadilla this weekend, Bud's Creek. And then we're on to this SMX thing. I don't know much about it. I don't think anybody really cares about it, but we're on to the SMX. Charlotte.
What do you mean?
St.
Louis. Don't know much about it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
It's something with triple points, and I think you got to do donuts, and you got to, So, okay, last FBO'd topic.
Ode and Harrison and Shock and all
McElrath?
Those
McElrath?
McElrath?
He's back.
Like, those dudes, those guys, that 16 through 22 group, they know exactly what's going
on. As we get deeper into this, it gets more and more insane that Cade went hunting year one.
Nothing Cade does surprises me anymore.
So, anyways, so our guy, star of so many pods, shows, stories, Phil Nicoletti, he captured the Canadian championship today up in Walton for the Walton Kawasaki team. He did it in the most typical Phil way. He never won an overall. And Jess Pettis and Dylan Wright absolutely had a disaster's happened to him, but it doesn't matter. Phil won. Congratulations to Phil, Racer X, PulpMX's Phil Nicoletti. He's a Canadian champion. He says he's not going back next year, but I say he's on the line with that number one plate next year.
What happened to Tanner Ward today? Didn't Tanner Ward have the lead?
No, Phil.
Had it. Come on, guy. I don't follow this series.
Yeah, clearly. Okay. Phil had 8 points going in.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the other way around.
No, okay. Phil had came through in the clutch. Tanner had the red plate for 2 weeks, and then our guy Phil, came through in the clutch and won some motos.
Got it.
Ward crashed out today, though.
Ward crashed. He didn't crash out. That was faulty reporting by Galdi. But he crashed back in Moto 2. He was way back.
Okay. And then Pettis and Wright, who were supposed to be the two guys, just anything that could have happened to them happened.
You name it. Dylan had three fuel problems in 16 motos.
Strange because Honda HRC sent them fuel tanks.
Yes.
At some point.
Yes. Jess Pettis blew up a bike. They took each other out. Today, Dylan just crashed out or broke again. Two DNS for Dylan Wright again. He was by far gone in both motos. Pettis won. But Phil, three retirement parties to a national championship. It's never been done. That's never been done. I guarantee you.
Is he paying you back?
No. What do you think?
No, he's not. I mean, this is the end. Never, ever, ever. This is the moratorium. It is over. Phil is never allowed to complain that he's the guy that always has the bad luck. Are you kidding me?
Right. He had a doctor in New York pour millions into his program, and then Thomas Fichter pour maybe half a million into his program, but he was always the guy coming up with the short end of the stick.
Oh, always getting screwed.
Always getting screwed.
Always getting screwed. Yes. Now he has the two fastest guys just having ridiculous bad luck. Like, Sexton Jets weekend, that's what it was like every weekend.
Pretty much.
Maybe
pretty
every much. Other? Every
yeah.
other.
Yeah. The first two rounds were just chalk. We were fine.
Yeah.
It was all playing out the way it was supposed to. And then from rounds 3 to 8, it went incredibly sideways. But he won. He never won an overall, but he won. He won the title. Phil Nicoletti.
It's amazing.
He
it's
didn't
amazing.
Even buy an insurance policy on himself because it was so unlikely that he was going to beat two of those guys. Maybe beat one. Maybe one gets hurt. But there's no way both get hurt or both have disasters. So Phil's like, I'm not buying the insurance. So he didn't even buy a policy on himself.
He has a bonus, though, right?
Yes, yes, he has a bonus.
Yeah, just not huge.
Right, right.
I mean, obviously, underneath all the sarcasm, this is awesome, and I'm pumped for our guy. And I'm sure we'll have a party here in the Charlotte area when he returns, like a hero, maybe a Purple Heart for him, whatever way they honor soldiers.
I think all this proves is that your Eli Tomac theory is wrong. Father Time is not undefeated.
Oh!
Bill Nicoletti just defeated it.
Yep. That's a great point. All you need is three gas issues, a blown up bike, the top two guys to take each other out in the first turn, and then numerous other things. But you're right. Hey man, yes.
Jet apparently tried to jump the gate.
Yep.
Got penalized a lap. Chase Sexton had a front brake issue, skyrocketed off a jump with no movement in the front wheel, and then DNF. They did a lap, like a 360 on the straightaway, like, hey, man, these things happen.
Don't forget about Paula. I think the only thing to do, though, honestly, let the good times roll, as Cowie says, and put him on the 21 bike for Unadilla. He's made the podium at Unadilla before.
Oh, yeah.
He got an empty
no
bike.
No better way to celebrate the homecoming. Bring the cup home.
Bring it home and get on that bike, and let's do it. So, look, he's got a factory Cowie gas tank. He's halfway there.
The only thing I would ask,
that was all the difference.
The only thing I would ask is, if they do this, they need to change the huge green thumb to a huge middle finger.
Did you see his video of all the little kids? Did you see that?
I mean, I've seen him do it all over the globe.
Yeah, but so on Instagram, he posted a video on Friday. It was like a 7-second walk by of what, 40 kids flipping the camera off, as young as 5, as old as 13. Like, what? I better not say too much because Eli's going to tweet about it, but I don't like it. I don't like that either.
I'm on board with that. I don't like that either.
All right. Only they had become the 51st state, Phil will be the American motocross national champion.
Yep.
We were this close to Phil getting it done.
We got a video of a burnout, Weege. You got a video of a burnout. So
yeah, burnout on the podium. So when Phil won the Triple Crown up there in 2019, we were saying that really him and Coop, who was the Supercross champ at the time, they were like equals. So if Jet can get this done, and it's a little trickier now with the penalty, Phil and Jet, basically the same level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One's a national champ below the border and one above.
Yep. Well, remember, Weege, at one time, your little golden triangle there in North Carolina held the Australian, the Canadian, and the American Supercross titles.
Oh, that's right. Phil wasn't just Triple Crown. It was Supercross. That's what it was.
Outdoor arena cross-ish, but sure. Yeah, we called it Supercross. The Canadians
we
called
had it
Supercross. Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Congrats, Phil. I mean, obviously, this is fantastic.
It's going to give us a lot of ammo.
Oh. Unbelievable that it keeps on giving.
He doesn't even win an overall. That's the best part of it. Doesn't matter. Nope. National champion.
Always has the hard luck.
Good job, Phil. Love it. All right. Fly Racing Racer X review, Ironman in the books. Crazy, wacky one. Unadilla is next. And so thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. Thanks to Anton for the hard work behind the scenes on the video as well. Weege, JT, anything else, boys?
Should we assume you're not going to Unadilla?
Yes.
Okay.
If Phil races, come on.
If Phil races a factory Cowie, I will be there.
Okay, so you're not going.
I didn't know what you meant by the 21. Oh, you meant I thought you were forgetting what Phil's 29. I'm confused.
Anderson's bike.
He should race on Anderson's bike.
Yes.
Good luck.
It's open. It's right there.
I feel like Factory Cow has got enough going on right now.
They're testing Supercross.
I hope they use that magic part they found on Saturday morning if Phil races.
Also, by the way, Lars said he had fans, plural, fans asking him if they can do the whole shot contest on the Honda.
Oh, God.
So that's the can of worms that Lars is open with this. Yeah, just fans are asking, can we also do the whole shot contest? So.
Gosh. You could charge admission. It's like a ride.
Well, that Bobby Pizza guy, what is it, $5? You could rev his bike?
Yeah.
I mean, yep. Whole shot contest, $5.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thanks for watching and listening. Appreciate it. JT Weech, thanks, boys.
See ya.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Motorsport.com, Renthal, and on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners. Don't change.